Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the amazing Amanda Flanders.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Well, welcome back. That was a bit of Huey Lewis on the news. It was an ultra-cheesy tunage that had absolutely nothing to do with our next guest, apart from the very tenuous link that it mentioned the word tree.
It was a good try.
If you only just got it.
I've only just got it. Yeah.
So it was incredibly tenuous, Mike.
That's the name of my company, isn't it?
It is.
That's where we are, right?
Do you like it? No, that's good.
It's half an hour.
It's an absolute pleasure, listen, to welcome into the Counting House on Channel Radio and Campus Radio the lovely Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.
Hello. Annette.
How are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic. And also Mr. Mike Reed from Prospect Tree.
Good afternoon. Put your teeth in.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's affecting all of us today. It's the heat.
It must be, yeah. But there's nothing wrong with Prospect Tree, is there?
Yeah.
Why can't I say that?
Go on, say it again.
Prospect Tree.
Say it lots of times over
and over. Yeah, Prospect Tree, Prospect Tree, Prospect Tree.
There we go. Well done.
Prospect Tree. That's better.
Yeah.
My dad's dog died.
What?
My dad's dog died.
It.
We did a show. We did a live show. None of you are old enough. There was a comedian in the 60s and 70s called Freddie Parrotface Davis. Anybody heard of him?
No.
Very well known on TV in the 60s and 70s, Freddie Parrotface Davis. Channel Radio did a live show with Freddie in St Mary's Bay. And before we went on, he was in the changing room, and I walked in, and he looked at me, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he went, "My dad's dog died." I'm really sorry about that, Freddie. He went, "My dad's dog died." And I'm really sorry about that, Freddie. He went, "My dad's dog died." And I went, "You've told me that three times." And he went, "Will you shut up interrupting me?" And I went, "But your dad's dog died." He went, "I know." And I said, "Why are you telling me this?" He said, "No, it's a warm-up exercise, you fool."
Now it's Prospect Tree.
I'm going to come in. Prospect Tree. Prospect Tree. My dad's dog died. Anyway, enough of that. How are you, Nettie?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good.
Loving your air-conditioned studio.
It's much nicer than the Dymchurch studio, because if we were in Dymchurch now, we would be stripped to our micro-speedos, would we not, sitting in a pool of horrible stuff?
I may not be taking part.
Would you not?
Paul would be. I don't know about the rest of us.
Well, I would. You know, I'm always up for it. No, it was unbearably hot down there, but it's nice and chilled. It's a very pleasant 18 degrees in here.
It's very nice, and it's nice to be surrounded by my clients.
Yeah, absolutely. How did that happen?
I don't know. It's like we talk to each other, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
More planning, hey? It happens.
So for those listeners that don't know, and there can't be any of them, but tell them a little bit about Rift Accounting, Nettie.
Well, we are non-traditional accountants based here in Ashford. We look after SMEs, startups, people want to grow their business, people who generally want to talk about business and different elements of business, and how we can help them and work with them and look after them and watch them prosper and grow like trees.
Oh, I see what she did there. That was really clever, wasn't it? Yeah, really clever. Grow like a tree.
The only accountancy company I know of locally with its own YouTube channel, which is what Amy was just talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the only accountants locally that has a very regular slot on a local radio station.
Two. I think every month.
Yeah.
Every single month.
Blimey.
And they bring their clients with them.
I know.
To tell them all about what they're doing.
It's amazing, isn't it? How did all of that happen?
I don't know. But going back to last month, if we can, very quickly.
Yeah, of course.
What an amazing reaction to Matt.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, young
amazing.
Matt.
Amazing. So if you're listening, Matt, you should be emailing in. And if you're not listening, then to be honest, stardom struck him quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was
really funny, actually. Sorry, we're talking last month's guest first here. It was young Matt Velvick, who ran a cleaning company, KTC, cleaning company. And as is my wont, after the show, I was tweeting out the links to listen again, and I was doing all kinds of stuff. And on the Campus Radio website, we have a Rift-specific page, and it has all the interviews that we've done with Rift clients, and Matt was one of them. And I was tweeting out the link to that, and some girl, a really nice-looking girl, went, "Blimey, I haven't seen you for ages, Matt. I wonder where you've gone." Oh, And I thought, hello, that was working. But then he kind of tweeted, And I thought, maybe you've been trying to avoid her or something. I don't know.
She's found you.
Yeah,
get
cool.
Away from me now.
Anyway, welcome back onto the Business Bunker in the Counting House.
Thank you.
And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Mike Reed of Prospect Tree.
That's it.
Mike, tell us a little bit about Mike and a little bit about Prospect Tree and what it is you do.
Okay. Well, we're a local firm of independent financial advisors and mortgage brokers. We've been based in Ashford now for 5 years, which is coincidentally the same amount of time as I've lived here.
On earth did that happen?
I know.
Like it was planned.
We also have an office in Bromley, so we cover most of Kent.
Oh, right, okay.
So I do a lot of driving up and down the M20.
Right, okay.
Which has been more fun this summer than it certainly was last summer, which was no fun at all.
We were harshly, very harshly, just laughing at a news report that had come in just recently, were we not? Shall I tell the listeners?
Well, it was quite funny, but I would be embarrassed if I was that ambulance.
We were looking at a news report of an ambulance. Was it on the M20?
No, it was on the one of the
A roads
around Ashford, but it was around here somewhere on a dual carriageway.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sadly, an ambulance driver had been involved on his way to an accident, had been involved in an accident which required another ambulance to come and help the ambulance driver in the first ambulance, which isn't funny really, but it kind of is.
It's a bit of a bad day.
But to be fair, I'm having a bad day too. My boiler packed up this morning again. But anyway, never
mind.
Did
you need that today?
Sorry?
You need that today, your boiler.
No, but it heats my water. So if
you on hot water as well today? Just have a cold bath.
I was trying to have a shower. You've obviously not got close to me today, Amanda.
No, not close enough.
Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Mike, let's go back to Prospect Tree.
Yes, so we started 7 years ago now, I think.
Okay.
My business partner and I both work for NatWest Bank.
Right, okay.
And then we left and the share price crashed and it was bought by the government, so we cost you a few quid. Sorry about that. And we decided we wanted to start our own thing up because we've been financial advisors with banks for years and years. And here we are today, still going. So
when you started, did you start in Bromley?
Well, I was living in Crystal Palace at the time.
Is that allowed?
Londoner.
Is that allowed?
Coming down here, stealing all
South
your jobs.
London.
I know.
Yeah.
I moved down 5 years ago now. My wife was pregnant, so we thought we'd prefer a bit of countryside, and here we are. So.
But you came to Ashford instead, yeah?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Okay. By accident more than design, I think. Okay. Ran out of petrol at Junction 9. Ago, so.
It happens, yeah, it happens. So you're based in Ashford and Bromley.
Yeah.
And there's two partners in the firm. Mm-hmm. Do you specialise in any particular area of finance, or do you cover the whole thing?
Well, we pretty much do everything. We've just launched a new business as well called Prospect Tree Mortgages, which Nettie is kind enough to look after for us.
Right.
And that's with another partner. But mainly my business partner and I, who's called Dean, we mainly do pensions, investments and that kind of thing, because that's what's in demand at the moment.
Absolutely. So let's talk about both of those things. I'm interested by your – did you say it was a new part of your business, the mortgage business?
We always did it, but we've separated that part of the business out, so it stands alone now.
Okay. Are you a domestic mortgages, commercial mortgage, mixture of both?
We'll pretty much do anything,
right,
within reason.
mortgage. What's the question? The answer is yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yes.
Oh, he is that kind of banker. He really is that kind of banker.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can always find a solution to most problems.
We're back on track now.
There we go.
No, that's cool. I want to talk very briefly, if we may, a little bit about the mortgage market and how you see it and where it is. Obviously, housing is one of those big issues that, certainly in the southeast of England, that everybody talks about. Everybody talks about young people's inability to get on the housing ladder. And then young people all grizzle and moan about the housing market. When I was a kid, when I got my first house, mate, my mortgage went from 8% when I took it out to 17% 3 months later. And the youth of today, let them worry about stuff like that, because we have basically zero interest rates. But enough of that ranting. Where are we with the mortgage market at the moment? You know, a lot of people will tell you it's almost impossible to get a start a mortgage. That's clearly not true.
The hurdle is the deposit, isn't it, for most people, and their income in relation to how much they need to buy. So,
yeah.
I think that, like I say, for most young people, that is always going to be the biggest hurdle. So you just have to wait till your mum and dad pop their clogs and sell their house, which
is probably
the best way in. Or alternatively, get your mum and dad to cash their pension in. Like, this isn't advice, by the way.
But it is difficult.
But, you know, inherently the mortgage market is still pretty buoyant. It's open for business. Lenders are lending.
Yeah.
They are a bit more strict than they were a few years ago, but with good reason.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you know, all joking aside, in 2007-2008 we went through a whole heap of problems in the financial markets for one reason or another, and one of the so-called rationales behind that was the rate of irresponsible lending. Mm-hmm. And the exposure to debt that left a lot of people heavily exposed. And of course, in an attempt to deal with a heated housing market back in those days, people were offering 6 times, 8 times and huge multiples of earnings on a mortgage, which was kind of dumb, really.
Well, if you had a large enough deposit, which might be only 10%, you didn't have to prove your income.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some responsibility to be passed back to the people that accepted the money.
Yeah, of course.
Strange enough, then find out they can't afford to pay it. But we haven't seen any massive fallout from that. Right. Particularly, I don't think.
Where are we now, though, Mike? I mean, what's the? I know this is. And we're talking general. This is specific advice. Just general. Generally,
very
in
general.
The market. Yeah, I'll talk to you about that later. But I need some lunch, so I need to borrow some money off you.
Okay.
Where are we now? What's the standard kind of domestic lend for someone starting out? What kind of percentage deposit are you expecting to have, and what kind of multiples of earning can they borrow against over what kind of time period?
Well, it's very much as I understand it, because mortgages aren't my area of expertise.
Yeah. Well, I figured that, so I thought I'd start.
Thanks for the really complicated question.
Yeah. He likes really, really complicated mortgages.
Very much as I understand it, it is all based on affordability. So the multiples have somewhat fallen out the window, and it's a case of what you're spending. I mean, I was looking at myself the other day.
Yeah.
I can't borrow as much money today because I've just had our third child than I could in October when we had two. So they take everything into account as far as your circumstances.
Right.
But my advice would be, if you want to know how much you can borrow, then get in touch with us.
Yeah.
And we will quite happily run what they call an agreement in principle for you, which will have you all pre-approved and give you the information you need to be able to go out and buy a place in confidence.
Okay.
And that's very important now, because properties, I understand it, talking to some of the estate agents we deal with, is in short supply.
Yep.
So they're looking for good buyers, and the good buyers are the ones that are turning up with their finances already in place.
Absolutely. Cool. Okay, let's move away from mortgages.
Thank you.
And let's find something else he doesn't know about.
Oh, no. Kind of all right on most other things.
He knows about bringing up girls, 3 girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Definitely knows about that.
That's something well outside my experience levels, I have to say. So, your conventional business, you're looking at pensions. Are you involved in auto-enrolments, or is that not something you're looking at?
We've done some of that. I've done some training with Nettie and her staff for auto-enrolment. I think it's something that sounds very, very complicated, and you can spend a lot of money getting it done, but it's actually very simple.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why most businesses with a bit of guidance couldn't do it on their own.
Mm.
There's a couple of companies out there, People's Pension and Now, they've got a really good process for small businesses. And I'd recommend they look at their websites and do it that way. But I'm happy to help with it, but it's not a massive thing that we do, to be honest with you. We've more been involved with people trying to use their pension freedoms that they were given last April by our slightly threatening.
Let's talk about that. I've been trying to avoid that for a little while, but let's talk about it. So give us an overview of what you're referring to there with people's pensions.
Well, effectively, last April, you can now, within reason, do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's an overview of it. There you go.
It's
obviously slightly more complicated than that, because otherwise people wouldn't need to talk to me about it. But that is the long and short of it, that you are now free to choose to do what you do with your money in the pension pot.
So basically, once upon a time, there was restrictions about what you could take out and when you could take it.
Absolutely. I mean, there are still some restrictions. You can still only have a quarter of it as tax-free cash.
Yeah.
But the rest, you used to have to buy an annuity, which is a product that's quite restrictive.
Let's just step through that. Your 25% tax-free lump sum,
yep.
There, you have to be, is it over 55 before you can take
you
that?
You do have to be over 55, absolutely.
Yeah. So once you hit 55, you can then take a 25%.
None of us then.
No.
I took mine ages ago.
Well, I didn't like to say anything for you.
Well, actually, though, to be fair to me, when I took mine, it was 50.
So it's quite a long time ago.
Those rules did change.
All right, okay. She's been really horrible to me now, isn't she? Yeah. So you could take a 25% totally lump sum, tax free lump sum out of your pension, mm-hmm. And then move on. Now, you can take your whole pension if you want.
You can.
But what's the downside of that?
That you go away and spend it on lots of holidays very quickly and don't have anything left to live on. No, there's lots of downsides. Obviously, as Annette will tell you, there are tax implications.
I was going to say, biggest thing is you've got to pay tax on it.
Absolutely. So whatever you draw out over and above the tax-free bit is treated as income.
Yeah.
So if you take 100 grand out, not an awful lot of it is going to end up in your bank account. A large chunk of it is going to be sent off to the lovely revenue.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's more, I guess the bigger thing with it is actually looking at people's situation. You know, I'll sit down with clients and the first question is to ask them what they think their retirement should look like.
Sure.
Now, a lot of the time you do have to rein in their expectations somewhat because it does involve holidays in the Caribbean quite frequently.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you've got an idea of what they're looking to do, it's then a case of making sure the funds they've got will allow them to do that and indeed will last for the rest of their life. So it can be quite a depressing conversation.
Yeah, we recommend that you actually die fairly soon.
Well, actually, the little tool that we use gives them a life expectancy, which is always quite good, and it will tell them at what point you think they're going to fall off their mortal coil.
Yeah, but nice.
It's good to be prepared, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. But this drives me nuts. See, I've spent all of my life being a clean living, well-behaved person. Yeah. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of those things, and now I've reached an age where everybody keeps telling me it would be better if you smoked and drunk a lot, to be honest, because you'd get a better annuity rate.
Plus you'd have more fun.
Yeah, it is.
Forget the annuity. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those, it's one of those things that you have got to take the whole person's picture into account. And obviously they have spouses and partners as well that you need to look at what might happen with that going forward. But inherently, as you quite rightly said at the beginning, you can pretty much do what you want. But you can get yourself in a lot of trouble, which is why I'd always recommend that you'd speak to somebody first.
Sure. Just intuitively, I know you probably don't have nailed on numbers for this. When Osborne announced this as a policy, a lot of people went, oh, everybody's going to take their money and buy Ferraris and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Have you any feel for really how true that was? Did a lot of people rush in and take money out, or was it more considered?
It's difficult to say because the guy sitting next to me talking about marketing and being able to find out exactly, you know, who's getting in touch with who and why. I don't know if I'm just getting lots of people ringing me to do that because lots of people are doing it or because they have to ring me to be able to do it.
Yeah, I get that.
So it's correlation and not necessarily causation. I don't know. But,
sure.
But yeah, certainly since last April, we've had a massive spike in calls of people who want to be able to access their pensions.
Right.
And the investment and insurance companies are insisting on financial advice.
Okay.
So they're having to call us to do it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, not many people have been saying, give me all my money. We've had a few people who perhaps have incomes outside of their pension that do just want to take it out and spend it. But
but
mainly it's the same conversation we've always had, just with a slightly different suite of products available to us.
Okay. I just want to step through the kind of pension options that you have as well for people, if that's okay, Mike. I mean, personally, I have a SIP.
Excellent.
Which is a what are you laughing at?
Go on, say that
I'm
one
impressed.
Quickly.
I reckon you've done your research.
Right. You might do a bit of research for the show.
Yeah, that's my age. It's my age. I have to know about
Unless
this.
Unless you're bringing on somebody quite intelligent this week, we really need to...
Uh-oh, we're in big trouble. Yeah,
I thought I was going to get away with it.
You know what? Paul's actually quite a clever person, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a what?
Quite a clever person.
Really?
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word quite.
Right.
Yeah, quite. That's relative, isn't it?
I was trying
to
be nice there, so you turned it around and...
I've got a SIP, self-invested pension. Just tell the listeners the kind of options that people have in terms of pensions and give them an overview of what a SIP actually is. I'm asking this so I know for free, basically.
Okay, that's quite right. Well, the SIP that you have is a nice product because it allows you within reason and within the regulations to invest in what you want to invest into.
Yeah.
So lots of small businesses that I deal with will invest into premises, for instance. That's something you can hold within a SIP.
Yeah.
On the flip side, too, and they're only worth it if you're using it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had lots of clients who've got a SIP, who've stuck it in a fund and left it there, and you're like, well, if you're not going to do anything with it, there you go, hand in the air. You might be paying slightly more than you would be in a more traditional pension pot.
Yeah.
A more traditional pension pot would, it's exactly the same structure as a SIP, with a slightly more restricted investment choice.
Right.
But effectively, they're your two things at the moment, unless, of course, you've got a work one or you work for the council or somebody like that. But most small businesses will use a personal pension. And the personal pensions are great for directors of companies because they're a nice way of losing money out of the business and saving yourself some tax, aren't they, Nettie?
They certainly are.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because my accountant, Nettie...
Not an accountant.
Yeah.
No, I know it.
My accountants tell me off lots because I never pay anything into my pension. But let's just discuss that for a moment, if we can, Mike, because payments into your pension are tax free. Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's one of the most effective things that you can do at this point. You can move money into your pension with no tax implication. Of course, there is a tax implication when you take it out the other end.
Well, actually, it's even better than that, because if you, let's say, for instance, had £40,000 spare in the business and didn't know what to do with it, a problem I'm sure we all have all the time.
Absolutely. Every single day I worry about that.
Well, when that's put into the pension, it's a business expense, so it comes off your bottom line and saves yourself corporation tax, effectively, doesn't it? Equally, if you're doing it on a personal basis, the government will add to your money that you're putting in to bolster up what you're paying in. So, yeah, there is no more tax-efficient vehicle to pay into. There's plenty of others that are as tax-efficient while you hold them, like ISAs, for instance. Lots of people are using ISAs for pensions because they prefer the flexibility, but you don't get that help at the beginning.
OK, I want to talk about ISAs in a minute.
Hello. Hey, something I like better than talking about ISAs and pensions. All
See, he was worried he wasn't going to, you know, be able to talk much. You've got him going on all his favourite subjects.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'll get guests on here so I can get free advice. That's the whole point of being here, yeah. And we're going to kick him out in a minute when I've sorted out all my financial issues.
Just
I'm going
to
throw him out.
To the regulator again, this isn't advice, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Just make sure
Very generic.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So a pension is a great vehicle that's tax efficient, and it's designed that way specifically to encourage people to have pensions and to use it efficiently. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about ISAs, and there are different types of ISAs, you know, because you've got cash ISAs and share ISAs, presumably.
Yeah.
So just kind of...
Well, they're about as interesting as that. There we go. Stuff in them and it's good.
He chose to be in this industry because it was just so exciting
I'll
for him.
I'll be honest, I fell into it. Well, that's another thing. I probably shouldn't say that. ISA's effective. If we're giving investment advice to somebody, it's the first port of call for everything because you don't pay any tax on the money you make in it, whether it's in cash or shares or whatever you've decided to invest into. If someone's got £100,000 to invest, there's a chunk we will put into an ISA.
Yeah.
And you can do that every year. So I think about 3 or 4 years ago, they had the first ISA millionaires. So that's, you know, £1 million worth of ISA holdings.
Right.
So, you know, it just goes to show that the limits are around £15,000 or that sort of amount. And it just goes to show that might not sound much if you're looking to invest a big chunk, but if you do that every year, actually eventually it
exponentially
does add up.
Grows. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So they're a good thing. And you know, the difference with ISAs is you can take your money out whenever you want and use it for whatever you want, whereas your pension, as you pointed out earlier, is limited to the age you want to get your hands on it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, we'll try something else. What excites you about being in your business?
You're mean.
What's the exciting product that you really like working on, Mike?
There's no product I'm specifically excited about. I'll tell you what I really like about my job.
Yeah.
And that's getting out and meeting people.
Right.
When I was at NatWest Bank, I worked in their corporate arm for a bit, so we were constantly being taken out to small businesses, which is where I met some accountants and people like that.
Not an accountant.
No, I know. Sorry. I didn't but, you know, I remember a day at NatWest where I was taken off to a printing firm. They had a massive Heidelberg press.
Right,
And business people always want to talk about their businesses and show you what they do. Mm. And he let me press the big red start button, which was probably one of the better things that we did.
Hold on a minute. He's not coming round this side of the
Let me tell you that.
But, yeah, I love meeting people, meeting the business people and finding out what they do and how we can help them. Inherently, you know, what we do, it's not very exciting in the same way that accountancy isn't massively exciting, but it's a necessity.
It can be really exciting, depending on which accountancy practice you're with. Paul, how exciting is it going to see the accountants?
Oh, it's the highlight of my life.
We can't keep him away.
Absolutely.
He wants to come every day.
I go all the time just for excitement. Yeah, absolutely. I go, hello, it's me again, and I go, woo. No, you're absolutely right. You know, but the interesting thing about all of this kind of thing, all of these financial products, especially right at the moment, you know, I don't want to get too political about this, but there's a lot of activity going on with suddenly loads of people going, oh, I told you, see the pounds plummeted or the FTSE one. They haven't got a clue what they're talking about. They have known absolutely nothing about the markets, but everybody's going, oh, I told you that would happen. So it's kind of something that's coming into people's consciousness at the moment. But I find it amazing how many people have such a little understanding of stock markets, foreign exchange, and all those kind of insurance, you know, all the kind of things that everybody's suddenly become an expert in the last couple of weeks, because they're all predictors of what is or isn't going to happen.
Predictors of doom.
Yeah.
I mean, inherently, I don't blame people for not having much of an understanding about it. It's not something that people are inherently interested in, but you know, part of what we do, it's, you're quite right talking about the EU referendum. There has been a lot of uncertainty, I guess is the nice way of putting it. Mm-hmm. But inherently, if you look back historically, we've been through worse things than this, and life carries on.
Yeah.
And with any investment, especially a pension that we were talking about, they're long-term investments. Yeah, so it's managing those expectations long-term, and that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
It's looking at people's long-term views, trying to match them up with something that's risk-appropriate, and then regularly reviewing it being the most important thing.
Yeah.
I remember a guy shouting at me once. Well, I say shouting, mildly heckling at a little talk that I did. And he was telling me that pensions are rubbish and he wished he'd bought a property.
Right.
And what I said to him was, well, have you actually had it reviewed in the last 20 years that you've told me he's got it? And he said, no. And I said, well, imagine you bought a house 20 years ago and just left it alone. What sort of state do you imagine it would be in right now?
Yeah.
So that same thing applies with your pensions. You need to be looking at it every year, and that's probably the most important thing anyone can do, to keep in contact with us and to see us every year to have a review. So that's kind of that.
Absolutely. Mike, we could talk about this for a long, long time, because it is actually a fascinating subject. There is a lot of stuff in there.
Do you look keen?
Even
your eyebrows are slightly harder than they were.
Yeah, I've lost the will to live now. Yeah, I've had enough. No, absolutely. If people want to find out more about Prospect Tree and what you do, how can they do that?
Yeah, our website is all the W's, prospecttreefs.co.uk, and that's got two T's in the middle and looks like Prospect Reefs, but that's a whole other thing. Or you can contact us. The phone's probably the easiest way, which is Ashford 01233 800 107.
01233. Or check out the website, and there is a link to the website on the Kempis Radio website if you want to do that. For the moment, Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Talking about your fantastic business, and real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.